Welcome to City Talks, a monthly podcast looking at the big issues facing UK cities and the latest thinking on urban policy. I'm your host, Andrew Carter, from the think tank Centre for Cities. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to City Minutes. This episode is the second in a series we are publishing over the next couple of months, focused on different aspects of the Levelling Up agenda in the run-up to the government's Levelling Up white paper, which is due to be published in the autumn. The first episode, which is focused on skills, is available via our website or from wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today's episode focuses on high streets and city centres and their role in the Levelling Up agenda. And I'm joined by my colleague, Valentin Quinio. We hear a lot in the media about the plight of the high street. And we also know from surveys that have been done that from a symbolic point of view, the state of the high street really does matter for people up and down the country. So give us an overview of how high streets and city centres are performing across the country, both before and during the pandemic.
Yes, so I guess it's important to say first that the health of the high street usually reflects the performance of the local economy as a whole. And so that varies a lot between places. So we hear a lot about the struggles of the high street and, you know, the high street decline associated with the fate of retail giants like Debenhams, for instance. And this is a reality in many places. But evidence shows that this is not the case everywhere, and some high streets are doing pretty well. So a metric we often use to measure the state of the high street is vacancy rate. And data shows that there is a lot of variation between cities. You know, we have places like Cambridge, London, Exeter, where pre-pandemic less than 8% of high street units were empty. And that compares to cities like Wigan, Blackpool and Stoke, where it's near 20%. So I suppose there's two important elements to raise here. I think the first is, why is that the case? And the second is, how has that changed as a result of the pandemic? And when we talk about high street decline, I think it's important to be reminded that vacancy rate is actually a symptom of it. And the real problems lie underneath it. So the problem many of these places are facing is a lack of footfall. And behind the lack of footfall, it's a lack of consumer spending power. And so if we are to level up the country by making high streets more vibrant, this has to be the starting point. Some of the research we've been doing shows there's a clear relationship between the economic performance of a given local economy, measured by the presence, for instance, of exporting jobs and high-skilled jobs in particular, which tend to drive the productivity of a place and vacancy rate on the high street. And so this has important implications in terms of how we understand the nature of the problem. You know, we often hear that online shopping is threatening the future of the high street, but actually there's no clear relationship between the share of spend that's made online and vacancy rates. And so the cities that are performing quite well, you know, in Cambridge or London, retailers are facing the same competition from online. So this tells us that what really matters is the money that people are able to spend in their local area. So all that was pre-pandemic. And what we're trying to do in the research at the moment with the high street recovery tracker in particular is to understand how these trends might have been affected by the pandemic with real-time data on footfall and spend. And so the main learning from this data is that the places that were struggling before COVID have bounced back quicker. So Blackpool, in the most recent data, ranks first in footfall and in spend recovery. But now, obviously, we're talking here about a relative recovery to a situation which was precarious pre-pandemic. So it doesn't mean that it's doing well. It means doing the same as before, which is already a good thing. And then the larger cities where local businesses are much more reliant on weekday office workers who, you know, spend their money in cafes and pubs, these places have struggled as a result of work from home. And so the question mark for these places is, will workers go back to the office? If they do, then these high streets are likely to bounce back to a relatively strong position. But if they don't, then many of the hospitality businesses will struggle and we should expect some job losses as a result.
So how we frame the problem and the issue really matters. And it matters to the solutions that we are or often propose to helping town centres and city centres recover. And one of the sort of proposals or solutions is often focused on what's been termed culture-led regeneration or regeneration through big festivals or sporting events or museums What role do these have to play in city centre recovery and revival? And you know, where does that leave us in that sort of space?
Yes, Ryan, I think a number of places across the country have recently announced plans to revitalise their high street and their city centres through culture. And these might be quite useful if the objective is to attract people, to attract visitors, for instance. And more generally, many of these interventions are likely to change the attractiveness of a place to live, whether it's having, you know, more museums, cinemas or music festivals. But from a levelling up perspective, and therefore from an economic and productivity perspective, I would be more cautious, because what matters is making these places a better place to work. So, you know, there has been evaluations of culture-led regeneration, like the Hepworth Gallery in Wakefield or the Middlesbrough Museum of Modern Art. And there's little evidence of, you know, positive impact on the local economy in terms of jobs and wages, especially from temporary events like festivals or sports events. So that's not to say they don't bring any benefits. They can bring benefits on an economic perspective, but this has to be alongside other investments. And on that, I actually refer to the analysis of my colleague Anthony Breach on the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham next year, which touches on that.
So if those sorts of events or culture-led approaches help at the margins, when we think about some of the bigger challenges that our towns and city centres face, what should policymakers really be focusing on? And then say a little bit about, more broadly, how those kind of approaches fit into the bigger and broader agenda, again, about levelling up the country.
So that relates to my first point, which is tackling the problem at its roots. By improving the strength of the local economy, we need to invest in skills in the labour market, and we need to attract exporting businesses, and all that will be key for the levelling up agenda. And any intervention which seeks to revitalise the high street without boosting consumer spending power will fail, at least from an economic perspective. And so if they don't, spatial inequalities will widen between the levelled up places, which increasingly specialise in, you know, the knowledge intensive industry, which create highly productive and highly paid jobs, mostly in the greater southeast and the rest of the country. So the government recently confirmed its 800 million funding for the High Street Fund, which allocates funding to 72 different areas, mostly in the Northwest and the West Midlands. That in itself is not a bad thing, but it all depends where that money goes and how it's invested. So a key recommendation we have in the Levelling Up report is the creation of this 5 billion City Centre Productivity Fund, which would be funded from the existing National Productivity Infrastructure Fund. And the way it would work is that local authorities would bid to get funding by putting together a sort of strategy which demonstrates how they can improve their city centre as a place to do business. And that's the key point. Very often the problem with these types of bids and fundings is that either the focus is not a proper economic intervention, or that they are based on short-termism with a series of, you know, freestanding interventions. So instead, we're saying that what we need is a multi-year plan and all that combined into a single strategy. So part of that could be, for instance, used to invest in transport and accessibility to the city centre. You know, we know that transport plays a key role in matching businesses with local labour force. It can also be demolition or conversion of dated commercial space, creation of new office space to attract businesses, or interventions on the public realm, for instance.
Thanks, Valentine. A good reminder that when we're thinking about the high streets and city centre renewal agenda, the policy response is much broader in scope than just the future of retail and shopping. You can find lots more about high streets, city centres and levelling up on our website. Keep an eye out for the next episode in this Levelling Up series. But for now, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by Centre for Cities. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Centre for Cities. Please rate, review and subscribe if you liked what you heard. You can also follow the Centre on Twitter, at Centre for Cities, or like us on LinkedIn for the latest updates on what the Centre is up to. If you have any comments on the episode or suggestions for topics we should cover in the future, we'd love to hear from you. Do tweet us or send an email to info@centrefocities.org. The music was from Palace Fires by Johnny Foreigner, used with permission, and all rights are reserved.